are here. We're queer.
Get used to it.
Hi.
Manila Luzon.
Hello.
Are you into essential oils or
none of them are, because I tried doing colloidal silver on them. They get an injury. Like, get away from me with that crazy stuff.
Yeah, she's like, she does it when she's like wearing a witch hat and she's got a cauldron. It's a little intimidating.
And doTERRA, not only, this is a plug because they're amazing.
Yeah.
All of their essential oils. I have their lemon oil, their lavender oil, all of their oils.
I have them all too. I don't use the other. I have the book. I need to read the
book
to figure out.
Even if you just use them in like an aromifier, which is what I have. That I use them in. But I do use certain ones like frankincense and myrrh, and all those oils are super healthy. But yes, you do need oil therapy. Is amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
So you're not into any of that kind of stuff? Because the girls on tour, they feel that alcohol will basically cures
anything.
All your ills.
Yeah.
I don't really like to use any kind of like medicine. Like the fact today I was like, okay, I'm coming on this podcast, so let me just take an allergy pill so I'm not hacking up a lung.
Which allergy pill do you use? I use the Safeway brand.
I use the generic brand from Target.
You guys are so funny. You use up?
I don't know what it is. Yeah, it's got a little arrow on it. It says allergy.
It just
says allergy.
Yeah. And when did you get allergies?
I didn't start getting allergies until I was like in my late 20s. It's like weird.
How old are you now?
I'm in my living room.
What?
She's young. She's in her early 30s.
That's what I thought.
30s, yes.
Yeah. Because your birthday is coming up on August 10th.
Yep.
Which makes you a Leo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much like
J-Lo and like Madonna.
Yes. And Lady Bunny.
And Lady Bunny. Yeah.
Leo.
That explains a lot.
You got your nails done again? Oh, no.
No, same beetle color. Yeah.
So now you're on tour, and you've been on this BOTS tour, the Battle of the Seasons tour, for many years, haven't you?
Yeah, from the beginning, from when we started in like tiny like shuttle buses, with our suitcases on our laps.
Well, how's it different now?
Well, it's grown. The Battle of the Seasons tour has grown so much. Like, we have better producers, more space, bigger budget. Like, you know, we've been doing this show for a lot. We've learned from ourselves.
What do you do in the show?
I do some lip syncs in the show.
Lip syncing?
Yes.
She beats people.
Really?
Lip syncing. I try singing a little bit.
Do you lip sync your own material?
Usually I sing my own material, but I do really love lip syncing numbers because, you know, I love the sound of a big black woman's voice.
Coming out of your body.
Coming out of my body, or at least people thinking that's coming out of my body.
Who do you lip sync?
Well, I was on tour. I was lip syncing to Chaka Khan.
I've heard of her.
Yeah. And I love lip syncing to her because she really goes there with the vocals.
What songs?
I was doing I'm Every Woman. And I was wearing my infamous pineapple dress from season 3.
Yep.
The fans really enjoy seeing something from the show.
Sure. So. Yeah. Now, it's interesting. I've always interested in girls who are doing the girl's choice of people they will lip sync, because I would think that the choice would be just be someone who is to choose an artist to lip sync to who's close to what your own energy is. You know, have you, Michelle, have you seen her do Chaka Khan?
Of course. Every night.
Yes.
So you do I'm Every Woman. I wouldn't think you would do Chaka Khan. Let me think who I would think you
would
do.
Yeah, who would you choose? Because don't forget
for Manila.
Her Manila's, you know, infamous MacArthur Park.
Sure.
So
yes.
And you wouldn't put Donna Summer with Manila either, you know, if you think.
Right.
I wouldn't naturally. But now the Disco Divas and all them, I do, because I know what she likes to lip sync.
Yeah.
But just seeing her first on the show, I'd never go, oh my God.
You know? She's going to lip sync to like big black ladies.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I love that. It's fun.
Yeah.
I mean, they just have better voices. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I just wouldn't
equate. Skinny white girls.
Of course, Michelle, your voice is amazing.
I didn't mean me. It's thinking like Kristen Chenoweth and you know, mine are all Broadway people.
Right. So Patti LuPone.
Tina Marie.
Okay. Yes. I'm trying to get your energy. I'm trying to think who I would place you with. I just don't know right now. My obvious choice is to go with someone Asian.
Yeah, well, there's no Asian pop stars.
Aren't there Asian pop stars?
Fifth Harmony.
Not here in the States.
Fifth Harmony.
Yeah. There are plenty of Asian pop stars.
Yeah, the K-pop storyline.
All that. And then, you know, there's been, but here in the States, not really ever.
Well, or I would go with Asian themes, like, you know, A Taste of Honey, who did a Boogie Oogie Oogie.
And Sukiyaki.
And they would do, I would do Sukiyaki.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I love Sukiyaki. Great. Yeah, that's a great song.
How do you feel about Chop Suey?
It's delicious.
That's racist,
yes,
isn't it?
Yeah. I was just going.
It's the obvious choice. We're talking about sukiyaki.
Yes.
Yeah. And I said, how do you feel about chop
suey?
Or
a poopoo platter. Right.
What's a poopoo platter?
You know, when I first, one of my first people I used to lip sync to was Jocelyn Enriquez.
Oh, that's perfect.
Do you miss me?
Yeah. No, she's Filipina.
She's Filipina. Yeah. But she sounds, she's got that big, booming, like, girl voice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when I first started out doing drag in, like, the early 2000s, like, she was my go-to.
Oh, God, that's perfect.
Unfortunately, her career hasn't really, you know, kept up with
mine.
Well,
that doesn't matter.
Okay, right.
It's okay.
Well, I can't sing the same. Well, I do sing the same songs over and over again. But
yeah. Well, but, you know, that's perfectly fine. So you were on tour with all these girls. You've been doing it for years. What's your favorite city?
Yeah, what is your favorite city?
I don't, like, on the Battle of the Seasons stop.
Uh-huh.
Well, I really had
Pacoima?
A great time in Singapore.
You guys stopped in Pacoima?
We didn't do Pacoima.
What?
No, we didn't do Pacoima.
I had a great time in Singapore, our last stop.
Uh-huh.
Because
you got through customs.
I did get through customs. I did get through... My passport was valid.
She's laughing because I know that some of the girls had a problem.
Pandora and Alaska couldn't get through.
Yeah, unfortunately, it was terrible that they weren't able to come because I feel like they would have enjoyed it and the fans would have really loved to see
them. So when you guys went through customs, were you guys all going and you, did you see them over at customs and they're like going, oh my God, and you're and
like
you guys keep going
back there?
Bye. Is that how the scene played out?
We were in Australia with Alaska. She was in Australia with us, and there was a little bit of, like, you know, issues that was delaying us at the ticket counter.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't and Pandora was still coming from Los Angeles, so I didn't really know
right.
her story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but
it's
they wouldn't
the
let you.
Story.
They wouldn't even print the boarding pass because Singapore.
Oh, so the shutdown happened in Australia at the airport
before they got on the plane
because they have the rules of the 6 month rule, which
so
did
they
you
wouldn't
even know exist?
No, I didn't know that existed.
Yeah,
I know
it's
the
common.
5 minute, the 5 second rule.
I know all about the 5 second.
You know,
rule.
But I don't know about the six month rule.
That's different.
Yeah,
can you still eat something after it's been on the floor for 6 months?
Probably not.
Not in Singapore, at least.
No.
Not in another country, but
no,
maybe this one.
Definitely not.
No, I mean, it sucks, but at least they didn't, like, fly. Like, Pandora would have been flying all the way from Los Angeles, so that sucks that she, you know, it's good that she didn't have to fly all the way there.
That's
and then
true.
She turned away,
yeah.
Although she could have racked up the miles.
Yes, she could have. So when she got to Australia, she finished out that tour?
No.
Alaska finished, like, well, we just had to send her home.
Yeah.
Well, we tried.
You had to send Pandora home.
No, Pandora was in L.A. She wasn't on the tour.
Oh, she never got to, right. She never got on the plane, I see.
She was coming from L.A., so
right.
They just sent her home. Alaska.
And Alaska, we tried to, she stayed in Australia an extra day, and we tried to see what we could do
right.
to get her over, but unfortunately, there wasn't enough time.
So was Alaska already on the tour with
you
guys?
She was already on the tour,
yeah.
And we were having a great
time.
Oh, so
it's not time. That bad.
She did the Alaska leg, yeah. I mean,
the Alaska leg.
The Australia.
The Australia
yeah. Alaskan king crab.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, delicious.
It was a lot of fun, though. Singapore was great.
Good
you would have loved it.
Yeah,
it was
I'm
fun
sure
shopping.
Yeah,
it's very modern
and gorgeous.
It's very
now,
clean.
You guys, is it very clean? Because you know, yes. We've read the David Sedaris books because he talks about going to Japan and loving Japan and how wonderful it is. And he thought, well, I want to try China now. And in his books, he talks about going to China and being very disappointed.
Well, Singapore's in the Malaysia storyline.
I see.
Not China. So it's very different. It's a very wealthy country.
Yeah.
It is very
it's Muslim,
clean.
Isn't it?
It's
Hindu.
I don't know. I think it's like
they have all different kinds of temples there. I'm
yeah.
not quite
yeah.
sure, but because it is such a hub for, you know, commerce and
it's a melting pot.
Yeah.
There's lots
yeah.
of people there. People speak English, Chinese.
Well, talk
Tagalog.
About pop stars. You know, Agnes Mo is a huge Indonesian pop star.
Mm-hmm.
She's the Debbie Gibson of Indonesia.
Yeah,
I'm talking big pop stars
yes,
here.
And that's
you know.
The area of Singapore, that Indonesia area
right, right.
of the world.
Have you ever heard of Agnes Mo?
No, I have not.
No, I don't mean to just push Asian pop stars on you. I just don't.
I'll look her up and maybe next year at Battle of the Seasons, I'll be performing
I just
Agnes.
Think that Agnes Mo. I just think that with performing, I think there are certain narratives that the audience wants. And I'm sure your Chaka Khan is just fabulous.
It is really good. But I hear what you're saying, too. Yeah. And it's fun, and it's different and unexpected. And it gives these Asian pop stars that don't get the light that they deserve some light.
Because I think, you know, because who's the girl who discovered Hanny? Oh, Stacey Lane Matthews.
Oh, yes. That's one of our girls. Pop stars.
Yeah. I think I've seen her set list before, and none of it includes Martha Wash. Mm. None of it includes Lolita Holloway.
So you sit there going, what?
Why is she singing a Rihanna or a Selena Gomez song?
Right.
She's a big girl. And you want to see a big girl do a big voice come out of a big girl. You don't want
There's just something so rewarding
of seeing,
about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think because, this is my opinion, it encompasses and it kind of captures that moment of when that song first came out and what we knew it to be. So like even Jennifer Holliday, who's quite thin now, when you see a big queen do And I Am Telling You, and it just...
Because the narrative
is there.
It brings
you to tears. Yes, that's what it is.
The narrative is there because you imagine that she has been rejected because of her weight or whatever. Yep. And then when she says, I'm staying, you go, yes, murmurer.
Yes, honey. You better stay.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's not that they can't do the other things, but I understand. The narrative does lend to it, and it makes it that much more powerful.
Yeah, because, you know, when I used to lip sync in my day, I would do Cher, you know.
Makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. But no, but I would do Jody Watley.
Right. There you go.
Uh-huh. One of my big songs was Nicole. This woman, her name is Nicole McLeod. Actually, she has a different name now. I can't remember what her name is now. But it was a song from the Ruthless People soundtrack called Don't You Want My Love. And it's actually on my RuPaul's Go-Go Box Classics.
I know that song.
Yeah.
Is it Want My Love, Need Your Love? Am I thinking of something else?
No, that's something else. There's a million songs that say Don't You Want My Love.
Right.
This is different.
And I'm probably singing somebody really famous and popular, and it's just not coming to my mind, too.
Oh, I know that song
like
you're singing.
Like Sylvester or somebody like that.
My love. No, that's Debbie Jacobs.
Yes, I love that one.
I love that song.
That's my era.
Yeah. But I would do that. I would do songs that, you know, Soul Train Blacktress would do.
But I love, but that was, speaking about narratives, that's exactly what you would encompass. You'd have your afro, you'd have your little tiny mini.
Sure.
And that was what you were selling at the time.
And if you follow me backstage, I'll sell you a little bit something.
Think I bought it a few times.
Okay. Do you take credit cards?
Right.
You got a chip reader?
Right. So Singapore was one of your favorite cities. What can you tell people who are about to visit Singapore that they must do or they must see? Is there an area that we must go to in Singapore? Get your passport up to date.
Yes. Make sure that your passport is still issued and functioning.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's some really cool places that I went to the last time I was there.
Been there before?
Yeah, I went there last year for the Pink Dot Festival.
Yeah.
Is that like their pride?
That's like, it's kind of like Singapore's gay pride. They don't really...
They can't say gay.
Like, it's illegal there, not recognized by the government.
Sounds like you're just barely menstruating.
It sounds like...
It's actually a really fabulous festival. Everyone gathers in this one square in the city, and it's basically like a pride fest.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Like booths and a stage.
Big?
It's big.
Yeah.
And then at night, everyone gets a pink flashlight, and they shine it into the sky so that you can see this bright pink dot coming from this one point in the city, and it shines up into the sky. So
of year was that?
It's June-ish.
Yeah,
so like
gay
right
pride
around
time.
Season.
Yeah.
Gay pride season. Yeah. So last year I went for gay pride, and me and some friends that I had met, we all went to a suite in a hotel that was overlooking the square.
Yeah.
And so I got to like see all the lights shining
from
above. And it's really beautiful.
So the after party, the lobby, and the
hotel lobby and
help me with the
joke. After the party is the after party. After the party is the... No, that's right.
Jodeci.
Hotel lobby. And there's one more in there.
Yeah, there's one more. I always forget that next one.
It's the elevator. The elevator ride.
It's the emergency room. It's you got to get those gerbils. Got to get out.
It's at Dwayne Reed.
No, it's at Crystal's Burger. White Castle. So Pink Dot is in Singapore in June, and you went there before. Were you performing? What club do you perform at?
Last year, I was performing at this club called Avalon. It's this really, really fancy club that's actually sits in the middle of the bay. It's there's like two buildings that kind of like are like sitting in the bay. You take a like a walk over on a bridge. Mm-hmm. One's the Louis Vuitton store, and the other is this club called Avalon.
Got so much money over there.
Really?
It's so much.
Where's
money
the money come from?
Singapore.
Is it banking?
Tourism.
Tourism.
Like there's
finance, business.
Yes. Yeah.
Like it's just like a hub of.
Right.
It's really cool. But, yeah. And even the fountains are different. The fountains like flow inward because they want, it represents the money going into the city.
Oh, I love that.
So they have like fountains that actually are like giant, like, I don't want to say toilet bowls, but they just, all the water just goes into the center.
Huh.
It's cool.
And your Asian persuasion is you are Filipino.
Yes.
Yeah. Half. Your father was, your father
my
is
white.
My father's
white, a German Swedish. Uh-huh. That's where I get my last name, Westerberg, Swedish.
Yeah.
But my mother's from the Philippines.
Right. And is she from
she's
Manila?
From Manila. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. So do you speak Filipino?
I don't. Unfortunately, I really wish I did because last year.
How do you
year,
say, is it Filipinese?
It's Tagalog.
Tagalog. Yeah.
Tagalog. Wow. Yeah. I knew that, but I really didn't know that.
Yes.
Yeah, most people don't. You think it would be called Filipino.
I've been to the Philippines once.
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah. It was lovely.
For work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I don't go anywhere other than for work.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Oh, well, to get work?
Get work. Sure.
No, you know where you want to go for the work.
Where?
Korea.
Korea? Really?
Korea has the most amazing plastic surgery.
Really?
Assuming it's South Korea, yeah. The most, I'm
assuming. Not have, North Korea. Yeah. Yeah.
They have the most amazing, like if you look up Korean plastic surgery, you will die.
I want to hear more about this. We're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
We're talking with Manila Luzon, plastic surgery, the Philippines, and Tagalog.
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 Tagalog. I'm like, Tagalog. I'm confusing with the Girl Scout cookies, the Tagalongs.
Yes, which are delicious.
Now, I speak that.
You speak Tagalog.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. Hey, let's talk about Casper Mattresses.
Let's.
Now, you know, Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price. But aside from that, it's a great product.
Beyond a great product.
Yes, it
I know
is.
That the deals are great and the prices are great, but I have to tell you, the mattress itself is great. And really, that's what we're buying. We're buying the product.
Yes.
It is so unbelievable. If you have any issues with sleeping, this changed everything for me. This changed the game.
And you out there can get $50 toward any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/RU. That's right, honey. Use that offer code to get $50 toward any mattress purchase. That's offer code RU. What are you waiting for? Go to casper.com/RU. Get started today. You know, Michelle's got a birthday coming up, child, and I think you need a website.
Okay.
You want a website for your birthday?
I want a Dragon Death Drop website.
Well, then we're going to take you to Squarespace.
Okay.
That's right, honey. They make it so easy to create your own website, which is brilliant because a lot of times people should give out cards or you know, give their telephone number. Nobody wants to do that anymore.
Hit me on the two-way.
Right. Get my beeper number.
Sky 1-800-SKY-PAGE.
No, ma'am. No. Go to your own personalized website created by who?
Squarespace.
That's right. Squarespace and you. It's a perfect combination. So easy. Beautiful templates. Simplistic drag and drop platforms. Ciao. When you're ready to purchase a plan, get 10% off with the offer code RU.
What's that offer code?
It's RU, honey. That's squarespace.com. Offer code RU. RU. All right, we are back with Manila Luzon.
Hey.
We're talking about plastic surgery, as always.
Yes.
You're saying, now how did you find, I know that in Korea, I've read stories about them doing things to their eyes to make them look more Western. Is that where
that's and that's an Asian thing.
Yeah.
It makes me sad, but it's a big thing where they do that.
Right.
I said do.
Uh-huh.
So there's.
Why Korea, though? Where'd you find this out?
Some the queen internet? Told me. Don't worry, internet, yeah,
some
said,
queen told you?
Some queen said, did you ever see the plastic surgery in Korea? And I was like, what? No. Showed me the pictures, like, online. If you just Google Korea plastic surgery, it is mind-blowing. I'm trying
is
to pull it up.
Is it inexpensive? It can't be. It can't be inexpensive. I'm sure, you know, because, you know, the reason we go to other countries, we do tourism plastic surgery is...
yeah, it's cheap.
It's to go for it to be more...
And then you get a resort for 3 months so you can heal.
Here's for example.
Oh, and see now, you know what? Look, that's lighting. That's not even the same girl. That's not the same girl.
It's the same girl.
It is not the same girl. Look at her picture.
It is the same
girl. That is not the same girl.
They reconstruct entire...
Look at her whole chin storyline.
They changed the whole thing.
But that's the thing. Have you seen, like, there's, like, a man that one time sued his wife because, like... She was really beautiful, and then they had children, and they were, like, hideous.
Yeah.
And he was like, wait, I thought I'd married this beautiful woman. Why are my children so ugly? And she was like, oh, because I had plastic surgery. And then he ended up suing and winning.
Oh.
He did not win.
She tricked him.
She tricked him.
She tricked him into
fraud. He sued her for fraud.
For fraud, because he thought he was marrying a beautiful woman.
Well, that's his. He needs to sue his brain. Because if you could sue your wife, you should be able to sue your brain.
Sue your brain.
Right? You know. So you're saying, Michelle, they reconstructed her whole face. I'm looking at this girl.
That's not one. There's millions.
Where they've completely...
Just Google Korean plastic surgery. They do everything. Entire faces.
Yeah.
I can't even begin to tell you, like, amazing for people that were, like, deformed.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, amazing Korean plastic surgery.
That is really crazy.
Yeah, they're unreal what they do over there. And you would swear that they're not the same people, but they are the same people.
Wow. So that's what you just Googled Korean plastic surgery.
Korean plastic surgery. Get into it. Because I sat there for like hours.
Yeah.
Well, that is a hashtag Transformation Tuesday if I've ever seen one.
Yeah. So now tell me about growing up mixed race. Because, you know, a lot of people are traumatized by other people because... I'm talking about the kids at school. When I say other people, I'm talking about the kids at school.
Right.
You know, how were you able to sort of fend off their cruelty?
I don't know. Well, I went to...
Because you're from Minnesota?
I'm from Minnesota, so I grew up in a predominantly white community.
Where in Minnesota? Lake Minnetonka?
No. St. Olaf? No. I grew up in a small suburb called Cottage Grove.
Where is that
Cottage
suburb Grove? Of?
Suburb of St. Paul.
Yeah.
Suburb of St. Paul.
That's where the cheese comes from.
Yeah. Cottage Grove. I went to a school, a parochial school, when I was growing up.
What does that mean? Is that
like, it's like Catholic. A Catholic school, but it was Lutheran. So a private church-run school.
Uh-huh.
So I grew up with the same classmates for most
and
of
how,
my childhood.
And how the difference for your sister? Your sister is how much?
She's a year younger than I am.
So you guys were together the whole time?
Yeah. So growing up, I was really the only, like, me and my sister were the only, like, Asian kids in our school, per se. Across the street, we had a family who had adopted an Asian daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of knew that, like, okay, well, we're actually, like, offspring of our parents as opposed to just being, like, an Asian, like a Korean girl adopted by white people.
Right. Was she fully surgerized, this kid?
I don't know. She grew up to be very beautiful, so I don't know if she's had any work done, but she became a beautiful woman.
I just hope her husband doesn't sue her.
I hope so too.
Sue his brain.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a new read.
Yeah.
You need to sue your brain.
True.
That's the new read.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Sorry.
So this is in Cottage Grove, Minnesota. How far is it from St. Paul?
It's about like 20-minute drive.
No, that's nothing.
Yeah, it's like right
so
there.
You're from St. Paul, Minnesota. Yeah, where Target is.
Twin Cities.
Minneapolis. What's the other twin city in St.
Minneapolis?
Paul?
Minneapolis.
Yeah. Yeah. So Target is there.
Target, Best Buy, 3M.
They got all the stores.
Yvonne. No, Target. That's their headquarters.
Is that their headquarters?
Yeah.
Minneapolis. No, I didn't know that.
Now, did you know Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis at all?
No. No, I did not. I've never been to Paisley Palace. And
Paisley Park.
Oh, Paisley Park.
Because what year were you born in?
I was born in 81.
81. Yeah. I can't do
that. I mean, 89.
Yeah. 81. I have no idea. It means nothing to me. I have no idea how long ago that was. Although I did get a phone call from PJ today.
How's he doing?
He's doing great. I'll tell you the story, though. But I realized, you know, his birthday is September 1st.
Right. Virgo.
And he'll be 46 years old. And I realized that I met PJ when he was 19. That's ridiculous.
You met me when I was 17.
It's crazy.
It's stupid.
It's so stupid.
I'm so stupid.
I'm going to sue you. Everyone's
brain.
Everyone's brain is getting... Sued.
I'm serving papers. Just know.
To your brain.
Yes. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's
it
ridiculous
is.
How
it's
this time.
Fair.
It's not fair. It's not
no.
funny.
No.
It's not clever.
No. It's just stupid.
It's just stupid.
Yeah. 81. So you were born in 81.
In 81. August 10th, 81. Where
yeah.
was
Would you like
I?
To broadcast my social security number too?
No.
Where were you in 81?
In 81, in August of 81, I had just moved back to Atlanta. Because I, you know, the whole time I was living in Atlanta, I would jump back and forth between Atlanta and San Diego, where my mother lived in San Diego. I'm from San Diego. And my brother-in-law had this car business where he would buy these upscale cars and I would drive them cross country. A lot of times I would fly to Minneapolis to buy a car and drive it back to San Diego, to Atlanta, where it would be detailed. And he would sell it to someone in another place, and I would drive it there. I was never good at selling the cars, but I was good at buying the cars.
Yes, you were, yeah. And driving the cars.
And driving the cars. And I was, you know, I drove cross country from the age from 16 to 21.
Well, you used to do it as a job, right?
It was my job. I worked for him for years doing it.
That's so cool.
Where your love of cars began.
Well, it came
even
before that.
From your dad. Yeah.
I just loved cars.
Just instinctively?
I just always loved cars. And this is, I'm born in 1960, so I grew up, especially in San Diego, all the surfers and all those people, they all had Malibus and of course all the Mexicans had jacked up cars that were so beautiful.
Gina, still to my favorite, one of my favorites that you talk about lowriders and stuff, my favorite thing is a hooked up El Camino. So to this day.
Love it.
Yeah, beautiful, like hot rod El Camino.
Exactly.
They're beautiful. And not easy to find, by the way, in
decent
condition.
Well, out here in California, you see them more because the weather. You know,
yeah,
I can always
they
tell
don't rust out.
I can always tell a car that is from Michigan because it is rusted.
Yeah.
It is. And the car's rusted in Minnesota, too.
Yeah, because of all the snow and then you get the
It's the salt. Yep. The salt is what does it.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Do you know how to drive?
Yeah, I can drive.
What do you have a car now?
I don't have a car. But
how do you get around?
Drive. Lyft.
Oh, is that how you got here today?
Yeah, that's how I got here.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't see the need to have a car?
Well, I mean, I don't really drive anywhere. My boyfriend
Does your
has
boyfriend
a car.
Have a car?
My boyfriend has a car.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
And also, you're on the road a lot, aren't you?
Yeah.
How many days a year do you think you're on the road?
Yeah, like once every weekend?
Oh, that's
probably.
Not so bad.
Not as terrible as when we tour, it's
when
worse.
When we tour, obviously, like I'm in the road all the time, but... Yeah, like once a weekend, I come home and then I go back to the airport.
Yeah.
So all I need to do is get a car ride to the airport and then I'm fine.
I use a shuttle. Sure. I stopped having David drive, my husband drive me.
What shuttle are you using?
I use Roadrunner because it's out my way.
Yeah.
And it's nice. I used the other one once without saying the name.
Yeah.
It's a blue van.
I know.
They had an open, giant jug of gasoline in the trunk.
Good.
My kids were in, I go, what is this gas smell? He's like, oh, I'm transporting gasoline.
Why is it open?
Why is it open? B, we're going to explode. Pull over, and we had them call another van.
Oh.
How do you transport people? So I switched to Roadrunner. I love them. I swear by them.
Yeah.
Not only is it easy, it's nice, plush vans. Like
sure.
And my husband has to fight. It's the only time he comes to pick me up and stuff and deal with that crap is like when I come home from Europe or I've been gone
for
a while.
Well, also, you live so far out from the LAX.
Yes, I
do. So, yeah. So,
but still, I'm like, can you save me the $55 and drive me? He's like, no.
Yeah, yeah. I'll take Uber to the airport or if I have
easy.
A client or who will pay for the car service or something like that.
But even you came, when I first moved here and we had the issue with the train, you and Joelle came to pick us up at the airport. I had Lola, who was 9 days old.
Yeah.
And
really?
Lily, who was two. And here comes Uncle Roo picking us up at the airport.
Yeah, I've always romanticized trains. You didn't have such a great
experience. It was the worst experience of my life.
It's because all the kids need a newborn and you just gave birth to a
child? No, it's got nothing to do with my uterus. Hanging out.
Really?
It's got all to do with the fact that they didn't have their shit together. In every other country, trains are the way forward. They are the way to go.
Yeah.
Paris, the UK, Virgin trains are fucking
amazing.
Fabulous.
You guys on the tour, you did that?
No, no, we didn't have to because we had a tour bus.
Uh-huh.
But I'm in the UK a lot and I travel almost, you know, completely by their trains.
Yeah.
They're amazing and easy. And I take the tube. Their subway system's super easy. So much easier than ours in New York.
Oh, even. Don't get me started.
I know, girl. So the train, it was Amtrak, and they've had such issues. That's why our train system sucks in this country.
Yeah.
Halfway through, they stopped somewhere in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. People were fist fighting that worked for the train.
Oh, that's hard.
Fighting,
yeah.
Threw one off. Then that brought us in late to Chicago, was where we were supposed to get our trade. You know, you switch trains.
Yeah.
Our
you stopped in Chicago for trade. Yeah.
As one does.
Yeah.
And they said, well, because of their technical difficulties and their problems and their fighting and their striking, they were striking at the time.
Oh, yeah.
They said that we missed our connection. And I have a newborn here. I need to get to Los Angeles. They said, well, we can't put you up in a hotel. Like, they didn't do anything.
My goodness.
So then I called my in-laws. They picked us up and took us to the airport and we flew. You're not supposed to fly with a newborn.
Right.
She was a week old.
Yeah.
But
which kid was it?
Lola, the little one. So
little
I had
one.
No choice.
Right.
Had to go.
Yeah.
So we did it. But it was a terrible experience. The sleeper compartment was great.
Yeah.
It was tiny, but it was fine, you know?
I've loved trains. I've always romanticized trains. Recently, took a train from New York to Washington, D.C., and it's a commuter train.
That's fine.
And that was fine.
Yeah.
It's just that it's very crowded.
Yes.
It's very crowded, and, you know, you got to fight for that seat.
Yes.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
It's not like the old days, like watching Mad Men. Like
or Murder on the Orient Express.
Yeah, they had these beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Oh, I
first.
At least there are any cowboys boarding the train trying to rob
That's
everyone.
That's true. Or James Bond on the damn roof.
All the time.
Chasing someone, you know, with a gun.
Give me a Hogwarts Express any day.
I love that.
Yeah.
But there's a romantic thing about trains.
Oh, I love trains. When I was a little kid, I used to have train sets. Every time I see a train, I fall in love.
Aww.
You know what I want to do is I want to take the train. I'm actually going to Denver this weekend to see the Blind Boys of Alabama. I'm
the
a groupie.
Country band?
They're not the country. They're the 75-year-old black men who are about.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I don't
they
know.
Won
I
Grammys said, and
yes,
stuff like that.
Yes, they're amazing.
Well, we just happened upon them in San Diego last Christmas, and they did their Christmas show so fabulous.
Are they actually blind?
They are actually blind.
All of them.
Yep. So fabulous that George and I decided we're going to become groupies for the
that.
Blind Boys of
I
Alabama.
Love that. I
so
love
we're
that.
Going to Denver. And going to see them this weekend.
I'm with the band.
Yeah, uh-huh. And so I'm going to take my top off and go,
Show us your tits!
Oh, my
I'm
God.
They won't see them.
I'm a great. They won't see them, but I know I did it.
Yes.
But there's a train that goes from Denver to San Fran. I want to take it because I think it's going to be so glamorous.
Are you sure?
But I probably not.
It is not going to be glamorous.
Not glamorous.
How long is that train ride? See,
I think it may be 18 hours, perhaps.
And you
see,
think
that's a long time.
Is it?
That's a really
but listen,
long
but we're
really
going to go. We would go totally chic. We could go totally,
you know. You
but,
would, but that you would be chic.
Yeah.
Your surroundings are not going to be what
yeah,
that was.
Yeah, from what I found when I ride trains, it's like you get a lot of people that are like a little bit cuckoo because they're like the people that can't fly.
Yeah. Oh, I get it. Yeah.
So you get some passengers that are a little bit like.
What kind of a train is it? Is it like an exclusive, fabulous private train?
That's
or is
the
it...
way it looks like on the brochure, Michelle.
Well, then you might have a possibility because if it's Amtrak, that ain't happening.
I think it is Amtrak, though.
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I'll
but
look
is
into
there
it,
a club
though.
Car? Tell me there's a club
I'm
car.
I'm sure there's a club car. I'm sure there's a club car. Yes. But listen, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, I'm going to talk more to Manila Luzon about her experience after RuPaul's Drag Race. Because everyone wants to know, what is it like as soon as you leave the show and then the period in between being able to tell people that you were on the show?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. You know, so, all right, we're going to take a quick break. Now, I want to get serious right here. I want to talk about sleep. I want to talk about that sanctuary that everybody needs after a hard day when you go home and the only thing you want to do is lay down in that bed.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what bed you're going to be laying in?
On my Casper mattress.
Honey, it is a great mattress.
Yes, it is the best mattress I've ever had. And I'm really into mattresses. I know it sounds weird, but over the years, I've invested in really expensive mattresses, thinking this could help me. My husband doesn't have the best sleep ever, but now that we've turned to Casper mattresses, it has literally changed the game for both of us, honestly. Because it's that hybrid. It's that latex foam and that Tempur-Pedic kind of
Yes.
Memory foam, you call it. Yeah. Sorry, not that brand name. But you know what I mean? Mix them together and it's like heaven, sleeping on a cloud.
Sleeping on a cloud. Now, you guys know that Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses at a fraction of the price. They're not a big fan of the department store mattress where you pay so much money. Casper has revolutionized the mattress industry. They've cut the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing those savings on to you. It's a great product, too.
And they're so confident in the quality of their mattresses that I'm telling you about. They have a risk-free trial and return policy. Check this out. You can try sleeping on a Casper for 100 days.
Wow.
With free delivery and, of course, painless returns. But I'm telling you, you're not going to want to return it. It's a 100% risk-free trial. So what are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for is right. Just go now. You can get that $50 toward any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/RU. Child, you better use that offer code RU. Now, terms and conditions may apply. That's casper.com/RU. Get started today.
Do it.
We are back with Manila Luzon from season 3 of RuPaul's Drag Race.
The real season one.
The real season one, because Michelle, that's when Michelle
always
on the show.
That's what I say. It's my joke.
Does it seem like an eternity that happened?
It was a very long time ago.
Yeah. How long ago was it?
We filmed it over 5 years ago.
Was it? Five years ago?
Oh, we're going into season 9.
Yeah. 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 Sounds like math, but I'll take your word for it.
It's simple math. It's math that you and I can both handle.
Huh.
It's crazy, yeah.
Yeah. And so, now obviously, you got on the show after your partner was on the show.
Yeah, Sahara Davenport was on season 2, and she had auditioned for season 1, and then she turned it on season 2. So
did you audition season 1 and 2 also?
No, I didn't audition until season 3.
Yeah.
Because when Sahara and I were together, I was just kind of like more of like a hobby. Like, drag was my hobby that I would do. I used to be a graphic designer in New York, so I would just do it on like the weekends or every once in a while. But Sahara was like the drag queen. That's how she like worked. That's how she made her money. So she went on the show. She turned it. And then so I thought, well, it looked like a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
And from the stories that she would tell about like all the friendships she made, and it just seemed like it was something I wanted to try.
Who did she end up staying closest with?
She stayed close with a lot of the girls.
Did she?
Because she knew Shangela from college.
She knew Shangela from college. They used to be in the gay scene down in Dallas, Texas, when they were going to school together.
And that's how she got her in, because she's a Davenport from this Kennedy Davenport School of Drag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kennedy was her sister.
Who's the mother?
Mother is Calexis Davenport.
Calexis.
Gigantically fabulous, like, drag queen.
She's still around?
She's still around.
Calexis Davenport.
Mm-hmm. Look her up. She's fierce.
Mm-hmm.
And how many Davenports are there?
There's, I don't know, it's, you know, one of those drag families that, you know, once the children have children and their children have children.
They spawn.
Yeah, and then people, like, are just, like, giving themselves the name because they, you know,
like
had their makeup done.
Like Andrews.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's a lot of Davenports out there.
Right. So how did she prepare you for your experience on the show?
Well, I think it was mostly just the fact that, like, we hadn't really experienced being on like a TV show doing drag. So it was a very different thing from like being in the bars. So going on into the TV show was different. So she kind of helped me prep for that.
How? What?
Well, I just knew that I had
daily enemas or
yeah, exactly. No, just kind of, you know, mentally preparing me for like how much like work and what, like the challenges of like being by yourself and being with a bunch of strangers and doing, you know, making sure you get some good camera time and some cute little moments. And
did you walk away with a catchphrase or did
I don't think so. No, I didn't have an Ali Lu or an Echipalante or even a Bam.
No, but you had legendary lip sync.
I just, I had cross-eyes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so.
But did you come, do girls come with an agenda like that where they have a catchphrase that I'm going to make this stick?
I think so. Yeah, I think a lot of girls like will try to find their catchphrases. But a lot of times it's just something random you said and they just, you know, the editors put it in the commercial. So it's like the first thing people see is like, you know, of someone saying like come on, season six, let's get sickening.
Right.
You know, death drop. And then all of a sudden that becomes like a catchphrase, maybe. I don't know.
What's your most cherished moment?
On season three, I just really liked being around all the creative people and just different types of drag from all around the country.
Don't forget, Manila was a Heather.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right. You were a Heather.
I made some really, like, long-time friends with Carmen, who I actually knew from New York City. We used to perform a few times in Esquilita, and Delta and Raja.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you guys are all still bosom buddies.
Yeah, for sure. We still talk to each other. We're still emailing each other or texting each other. Sorry, emailing. Who does that?
Yeah, yeah. And what would you have done differently? Did you watch the season?
Of course I watched the season. Uh-huh. I wanted to make sure I looked good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did you look good?
I think for then, yes, I think I looked good. I was happy with the final edit.
What would you have done differently?
I don't think I would have changed anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe I would have won. Maybe I would have tripped Raja a couple more times. But no, it was fun. And I really enjoyed. And because I was... our season was the last season that, you know, we actually get a definitive winner and an actual reaction.
Because on stage.
So,
right, because after that, some blogger...
Perez Hilton. I'm calling him out because I called him out in person.
Yes, I remember.
Because you don't fight for something for so long like you did to get Drag Race made. And then within our own community, do that. And I thought it was really... rude. And his excuse was he was doing his job. And I said, no, actually, your job would be to support somebody else within your community.
Right.
And it's not shady. It's not from what I'm saying was not trying to be mean or cunty. It's just fact. I wasn't looking for an apology. I just wanted you to know what you did was kind of fucked up.
Right.
When we've worked so hard to get visibility within the drag community, within the gay community, then you went and sold
and
your own people out.
Yeah.
Why do that?
Right.
Because, and then you came to you in a dream to do what we do now, didn't
yes,
it?
Yeah. Because for people don't know, you know, we would shoot the winner. We not shoot them with a gun or anything. You know, we would film the winner when we do it. And then the editors take the footage and for months and months work on it to turn it into a television show to where it comes on later. Right. Yeah. So we stopped doing that because...
There's always a leak.
There's always a leak.
I remember when I came home from shooting the last episode, it was already leaked.
There's always like incontinence.
Before the cast.
There's always incontinence.
Yeah.
That's
always.
Why, you know, always. Never wear white.
It depends.
Never wear white.
No, never.
You know, so, right. So now what we do is for the finale, we have three winners at the end of the shooting session.
Yes.
And then we shoot three endings for the finale months later.
And that,
if that
came
makes sense.
To you.
I was
in a dream.
I was so angry about what happened.
Yes, I don't blame you.
I was in that place between waking up and waking up.
Yeah.
Well, somewhere in there. I was in
hazy,
a dream. That hazy area, and that's where a lot of the good ideas come.
Amen.
And I thought, we will shoot three endings.
Brilliant.
And that's what we do from this day on.
And I don't think there's anything kind of... I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I love it.
I think it's brilliant.
Right.
Because we, as performers, whether you consider yourself an actor or not, a lot of people say, I'm not an actor, I'm just a drag queen, but drag queens are actors.
Yeah.
That's your moment to enjoy your moment of winning, whether you do it or not. So it's up to you to make it believable. It's up to you to live in that moment and be present and win. So it's just as good.
That's where you have the mascara running down your face. That's where you like make the ugly cry face.
That's right. It. Because that was a lip sync against Latrice, is that right?
Delta.
Latrice's season next one.
Oh, is it? Oh, she. Oh, okay. You were not with. Oh, you did Latrice for All Stars.
Yes.
Because I have a picture of you two.
They were Latrilla.
That's right.
Yes.
Because I have a picture of you two in Miami. And you got to remember, there's been 100 girls. So in my mind.
Oh, I know how your mind works.
We're all blended together. Yeah, we're all
I know
one.
How your mind works. We all do.
We're
you don't
all
know
one.
My kid's name.
Yes.
Well, I get it.
Yes. So, right. So you hit the hard wire when you did Delta.
MacArthur Park with Delta.
Yes. It was a very, because we had become friends. And so it was really hard to, like, I knew I had to send her home. Like, I wasn't going home.
Right.
So
And you did send her home?
Sent her packing, honey. I bought out everything. Like, tears are coming down my face.
Right.
Mascara.
Right. And who sent you home? Did you go home?
No, I went to the
last episode and Raja and I lip synced to Champion.
Do you know that song, Champ?
I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's a really good one.
I'm thinking of the Queen song. Wait a minute. Right, champion! Right, the Cher song, exactly. Yeah,
I made it all the way to the end. Oh. So I don't care that I won. I'm just really happy that I was able to do all of the challenges.
Yes.
To experience the whole thing. I didn't have to win the crown. I'm just happy that I got to go through from day one all the way to the end and experience the whole show.
You played a good game.
I was not going to make it easy for Raja. Yeah.
So in those days, it went down to two girls?
Yeah.
Yes, but Alexis Mateo was the third.
Yeah. You said, thank you for coming, but you're not going to...
Uh-huh. And then those two would lip sync.
Okay. So ours was the last season where we actually knew where there was a first... place, the second place, and the third place. Now it's just kind of up in the air.
We just kind of assume.
We all kind of assume who makes second place nowadays. but no, I mean, what's cool is that you do get a real reaction from the winner.
Yes.
You know, not that the
but you know
not
this is, the winners still now, there's still real reactions.
But you also get a real reaction from the loser.
Yeah.
Well,
But this is the thing, you know, I remember when we discussed this with the producers to do this thing, my argument was that the public really doesn't know what's real and what's not real. They think they know what's real. And they, you know,
every reality show, they do 20 takes of that same thing.
Exactly.
And even Big Brother that has a feed that's 24 hours with that, they edit together what they want to make it look they want to. So that is a real
reaction. And I go on to say that most things that we in our lives we think of as real are not.
They're all illusion.
You hear people say, "Yeah, huh? I want a real man because I want a real man because I'm a real woman." It's like, okay, let's break that down. You know,
For sure.
Because we're talking about a fantasy. Yeah. You know, we're talking because if you're born with a penis, you're a real man. Mm-hmm. But then if you feel like you identify something else, then you're a real woman. So it's like, where does it?
You know, ego.
I guess
of that stuff's involved, and that's getting real deep. But I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah,
everything is perception.
Thank you.
Well, if you perceive it as real, it's real then.
Sure.
We're correct.
Yeah.
You
There's
know.
Also a
and
fine
if you never
with...
see the other two, if you aren't at the taping of the finale, then you don't ever get to see the winner, the other two walk down
no,
with the crown
true.
On them.
No, but it's true. It's true.
So make sure to get your tickets to the finale of season 9.
That's it.
And it's like that movie Capricorn 1 or Prakishicorn 1.
Oh, I know her.
Uh-huh. Where they talk about faking the moon landing, which of course they didn't fake it, or did they? Where it's like, did they land on the moon or was that a Hollywood Stanley Kubrick production?
And it could have been.
Well, it could have been. Although, you know, I saw a story, an article.
How did they get Pop Rocks then?
Exactly. So where did they come from?
They
had to land
to
on the moon. Yes. Right. And but there was a story about Stanley Kubrick's daughter says, of course, my father wasn't complicit in faking the moon landing. It's against everything he's ever believed in. So
we need to believe her?
We need to believe that the man did land on the moon.
There will always be conspiracy theorists forever till the day we die. So did they or didn't they? Or, you know, we'll never know.
We'll never know. Although I've heard years ago about conspiracy theories that the problem with them is that most people cannot keep a secret. So if there is something that's put together, people can't keep their mouth shut.
Well, we learned that.
Exactly. We learned that the hard
way.
Season 3.
Full circle. Exactly.
Yeah. So these conspiracy theories. And again, you know, we're going to take a quick break, but I want to talk about these queens who get on here and say, oh, honey, it was all in the edit. They made me look this.
Girl.
They made me do this. It's all in the editing. And I'm sure Manila Luzon has an opinion on that. But we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
I have an opinion too. Shocker.
Oh, I can't wait to see what great emails you've gotten today about our gorgeous Squarespace websites. Now, you know, people send us so many great emails about their websites to rupaulpodcast@gmail.com about those gorgeous, gorgeous websites.
It's the gorgeous SpongeBob Squarespace Dragon Death Drop.
Wow, I can't believe you could say that with no extra takes.
Barely.
Yeah.
Barely. I've got an email. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
My name is Ricardo. I'm a Portuguese opera singer based in London and a huge fan of Drag Race and the podcast. First of all, thank you for always recording really great podcasts. They're my favorite thing to listen to during my very long bus journeys between London and Cardiff. I don't know why he can't find a vocal coach in London and has to go to Wales.
That's a long way.
But that's
go.
Where he goes for singing lessons.
Wow.
Thank you so much for partnering with Squarespace. I didn't know them until I started listening to the podcast. It completely revamped my online presence. I previously had a website built for me, which I wasn't really happy with. Same. I'm so with you. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, Squarespace changes everything. He says with Squarespace, he built a new one all by himself. It couldn't have been easier. Their customer service is amazing, and the whole interface and editor are super easy to understand. Thanks to you, I now have a website which I'm proud of and which I think really represents who I am as an artist and a person. It's ricardopanella.com if everybody wants to check it out. If anybody's looking for a baritone, it's ricardopanella.com. Thank you, Ricardo.
That is really sweet. And for those of guys who are out there who are on the fence, you know you can get a free trial with no credit card required just by going to squarespace.com. And honey, when you are blown away and ready to confirm a plan, just use the offer code RUE, get 10% off. Just that simple. 10% off by using the offer code RU. Now, I want to thank Squarespace for not only supporting our podcast, but also making something so beautiful and making it so easy for these beautiful artists out there to create a website of their very own.
So smart.
So smart. Hey, I want to hear about your website. Send us an email with a letter to rupaulpodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to go to squarespace.com, get the offer code RU for that extra 10% off.
Love it.
We are back with Manila Luzon from season 3, I'm told.
Can you believe it?
Michelle Visage's first season.
It is. And it will always, and no diss to any of the other girls. Right. I love them all equally. But season 3 will always be the most special season for me because if you read the book, The Diva Rules, it was such an awful moment when I couldn't be there for seasons 1 and 2. And then it was just an awful time that I couldn't do it. Watching my friend do something where I knew I was supposed to be.
Yeah, it was made. The show was conceived with Michelle in mind.
And the fact that I couldn't be next to him and doing what we love to do together and seeing him. Of course I wish for the best. But then when I finally got to that chair, even though my hair and makeup were fucked and nothing was right.
You look gorgeous.
I look gorgeous.
Yeah.
Simple. But the point was...
Not like it is now, no, which is
she had the,
like...
She had a blue streak in her hair.
The point was, I got to see... it was all magical for me. Yeah. For me. And I'm being selfish right now by saying, because that moment finally happened where I was really sad for 1 and 2, and I finally got it and got there, and I sat down, and I was like, breathe. So season 3 will always be special to me. Always. And Manila's constantly... been pointed out as you were Michelle's favorite. There was something about Manila that was so magical to me.
Well, she's put together, and it's in, and it, the humor was there, the attention to detail, and also I think because you're a graphic artist, your ability to understand proportions, which is so important to everything. Do you ever get to do graphic artistry anymore?
I do. I don't really do it as a paid gig. But
who did you work for?
I worked for a company called Matta Design in New York City.
And no relation to Matta Dorita.
Or
no.
The Mad Matta.
Uh-huh, Matta. Uh-huh. Matterhorn.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. What did that company do?
We did a lot of licensing stuff, candy packaging,
trading
cards.
Yeah. Are you any good at it?
I was. Yeah. I haven't really done it much. I do it for my own personal use. Like, I'll design my T-shirts.
Yeah, but you don't lose that. It's like, lose radio.
I went to school for graphic design, so, like, it's, like, in my, it's
not
in
your
my
degree.
Soul. Yeah, but now I just focus a lot of all of my creative energies onto my drag, which does will include, like...
Absolutely. People ask me that all the time about what I do, what I wanted to be when I grew up. I said I wanted to be creative, but somehow drag... Finding it allowed me to do all these different things. I produce, I write, I create things all the time. Drag is the vehicle, but I do get to all this stuff.
Yeah,
like
and because of
vehicle.
And since the show, it's got to be a lot bigger and grander. Like before, it was just like I'm going to put my energy into creating a costume,
right? Uh-huh.
And now the costume is now I'm going to write a song
it's
for
a
it.
Story.
I'm going to make a music video for it. I'm going to create the whole fantasy, the environment in which Manila lives in.
Yeah,
so that I can fully you know, realize the world and universe that I dream up in my head. So yeah. I use everything.
Speaking about Manila, let's go back to season three and let's talk about the editing that we talked
yes.
about. And your thoughts on the editing, because she said you had thoughts.
Oh, well, I think from my perspective, the editing was pretty true to how I experienced it. So obviously I think there's like 10 or 12 cameras going at any particular moment.
Right.
And they're all shooting at once. And we all shoot like 8-hour days, which means that 8 times 12. Okay, I can't
do
math.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
96.
Yeah, my head hurts.
96 hours of fit footage every single day.
Yes.
And we shoot for like 6 weeks,
yes.
8 weeks sometimes. So it's a lot of footage to edit down.
Sure, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's very difficult for the editors to get a good storyline, something that's...
But also, I think a lot of people need, because they don't like the way, and they're seeing themselves for the first time
in a different way.
Yes.
It's like the first time you hear your voice on tape, you go, is that me?
Yeah. Well, the first time you see your profile on TV, you're like,
But people need to, it's just instinctive, the people need to blame.
Deflect, yeah.
And because of that, they'll go, oh, it's the editing. People have literally come up to me multiple times, plenty mm-hmm. of times, and said, well, do you think the edit makes you look a lot meaner than you are? And I go, absolutely not. I take credit for every single thing that I say.
Because you said it.
I said, you can't lie. If you think it's meant mean, then you're not getting it.
Right.
You know, and that's really what it comes down to. So for these girls to blame the edit, and I'm not going to name the girls, you know mm-hmm. who they are.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a kind of... It's pathetic in a way because you guys, you sat there and you said it.
Yeah.
Might it maybe out of context in a sense that they can't show the full 45-minute interview that you did.
Mm-hmm.
But in essence, you sat there and those words came out of your mouth. So the edit is true. You may not like what you see.
Right.
But that's what you deal with your own work and your therapist and stuff like that.
Sure. Yeah. But, you know, I think you're absolutely right. The ego has to blame someone.
Correct.
The ego can't take on, I said that.
Why did I do that?
Yes. And I look like an a-hole, and maybe it's because you actually are, and you can accept it.
But learn from that, and that's how you make yourself better. You know, when I've seen over the years, I have a habit of doing certain things that I'm not happy with in my personality. And it's up to you as a person, me, whoever, to change that. I don't like when I do that. Stop yourself from doing that.
Sure, Now, when you did All Stars... Did you change, having seen yourself
having
on season,
gone through it before, All Stars was a completely different experience.
How?
I had a lot of fun on season three, and going back was just trying to recreate magic.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Mm. Also, it was a lot more stressful because before I was on Drag Race, no one knew who I was. So I could literally take everything in my closet and bring it with me.
Yeah.
And no one will have seen it before. Like my pineapple dress, I had made years in advance.
Yeah.
So like, but no one had seen it because I hadn't worn it in front of the world.
Uh-huh.
So coming back, I couldn't bring anything I owned before. So I had to get all new stuff. That was stressful.
Uh-huh.
And then the stress of having a partner.
Oh my God, that was insane.
Uh-huh.
It really put us through it. It was hard to like recreate the magic.
Yeah.
So I didn't have as much fun on All Stars, but it was really cool just to come back and compete against like some of the best and like most famous drag queens.
It's true.
And it's really cool. I'm really excited to see the new season of All Stars.
Me too.
Next month.
Sure you've seen some.
I haven't. I haven't watched them, and I will. But
can I watch them, please?
I know.
I hear. It is phenomenal.
I can't wait. I know what I lived through.
It is absolutely bonkers.
Yeah.
So people are going to really be
gagging.
Gag,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, the audience really already knows the characters.
Yeah.
So you can jump right into it.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
You don't need to spend all that time.
With a backstory.
Correct.
You don't
but
need to hear
also
about your...
people have... The idea of All Stars for me is like... So it's basically season 8.5. And... This is your chance for you to show the world what you've been doing since your season. So not just, yes, they know the characters.
9.5, though, because including the other All-Stars. I can't do math. But
no,
it's
then
eight
it would
seasons.
Be 9, essentially, right?
Right, because we've done...
We did All-Stars
We did
one.
10 cycles, because we did two all...
Yes, two.
8 seasons and 2 All-Stars.
So essentially it would be 9, but without without confusing.
All right.
Let's put it in the middle. So for me, like totally going confused. Into it, it was like, well, how have these kids grown since the last time I judged them, if I was able to judge them since season 3 on? Yeah. Or, you know, and show the world how you've grown and not just leaving off where you left off on your season.
Well,
you
sometimes,
know?
Like I know that when I was on the show, like I had a year. I had season 4 between season 3 before I went and filmed All Stars. But I came with Latrice, and she was fresh off of her season. So she hadn't had really the time to kind
That's
of fully
different.
Experience.
But the ones who hadn't been on for 4 years.
Yeah, they was really cool to see how much they've changed, how much they've grown,
how
their art has had developed.
Yeah.
So that was really cool and a great opportunity to show the world, especially for the season 1 and
girls,
and 2 girls, which, you know, they've had way more time to like to build. And I think every year Drag Race, the queens on Drag Race get better because they have had more experience.
Mm-hmm. And there's much more of a pool to pull from. They have YouTube now. They have, because of you, Rue, and the show in general, there's so many more, drag is so much more acceptable and mainstream. All different countries, you can look at stuff online for anything.
Oh yeah, you can pick up a $30 sickening lace front online.
Yeah.
And
uh-huh.
before, you'd have to like scrounge through the black lady store trying to find a lace front that didn't have a black, you know,
so,
the brown lace. Yeah.
Right. And my theory is like now it's a lot younger because kids are being raised not only by our show, but YouTube. So they're learning how to do drag at the tender age of 9 and 10 and they grow up with the show. So by the time they're 21, they get to be ready. Right. They're on our show and they're ready. And they also, don't forget at 21, think they know everything.
Uh-huh. Oh, so that makes them great TV.
Right. And there's nothing left to learn. So why are you going on a show if there's nothing left to learn? So, but it also takes the seasoned queens almost, you know, out of it, not that we always include them, but I'm saying they get kind of kicked to the side because they've been doing their thing forever and they're not these young, fresh YouTube, you know, so it's a really weird juxtaposition.
But, you know, when we're casting the show, we definitely want a cross-section of girls.
Exactly.
We always do a whole ensemble of different genres.
Yep.
You know, we've got to have the ingenue, we've got to have the comedy queen.
Have to.
Yeah, it just makes it interesting.
One,
and
yes,
the season, it makes it interesting. And also, to celebrate the art of drag, you have to show all of that.
Agreed.
Because initially, when we first started the show, we wanted to reintroduce drag into the culture because during the Bush era, drag had almost dried up.
Agreed.
It had almost gone completely away. Now I hear, you know, because of social media and stuff, clubs have almost completely died except for the Drag Race girls can draw in
drag
people
race
to
nights.
The,
yeah.
Yes, people into the clubs because people aren't going to clubs anymore.
Well, they don't have to.
They have Grindr.
Yeah, you can call somebody to come to your house or your hotel and you're done. You don't have to. The part of the gay club era that we grew up in and hooking up at a bar, like that's where we, before Grindr and all these things, we met people at bars and that's how we did the hookup. But part of the fun was the dance, you know, that was part of the fun.
That's right.
And as a drag queen, it's not fun to like get in drag just to go to someone's like apartment.
No, it's not. So the dance is now missing and you cut straight to the chase.
Yeah.
And that's why it's dried up, because if you're there just for sex and you're there just for sex, but me, part of the dance, looking across the room and going up and dancing with somebody and
having
that sexual energy. Yeah.
That's what it's all about. It's all about, you know, the
real life experience.
Yeah.
Well, and the you know, the journey.
Yeah.
It's all about it. Speaking of journey, you live in California now, because back then you were living
in New York.
In New
now
York.
I moved out here.
Right.
So I've been out here for like 3 years.
3 years.
I love it here. It's great.
It is. It is good. But you're not home all the time because you're traveling.
No, that's why it's great to be here. Because like when I was traveling and coming home to New York City, it would be like you're coming back to the hustle and bustle. And I just really wanted to come home and relax. So it's much easier to do here in L.A.
Now, we only have a little bit of time. And I don't want to end on a sour note, but I do want to bring up Zahara. You know, Zahara passed away. She had a brain aneurysm? Was it a heart thing?
No, it's a heart thing.
A heart thing. And does she appear to you in dreams, or how does she manifest in your life today?
She's just kind of embedded into my soul at this point.
I mean,
it's been enough years have passed that the pain of of losing someone has gone away. So it's now just a lot of like living through memories. Like I'm still very close friends with like all of her friends, so we like kind of just like we'll tell stories about each other, and it's just kind of like part of my life now. It was like a really, really huge learning experience. Like it just makes you like know that this is just a temporary, you know, our time here on Earth is just temporary, and that our health is like really.
Was it a surprise?
Or had she been ill? She had been ill.
So you knew that there was a possibility that.
Yeah, it was like a drawn out thing. So it was hard.
So it's almost in the end. Thank God she's out of pain. You know?
Yeah. I'm glad she's not in pain. And, you know, she got to live her life fully the way she wanted to. She got to be on the show. She got to show the world her ability to dance and her joy and her beauty. And I'm happy that I can carry that on for her. And I gladly will, you know, keep her in, you know, the fans' memories, because there's so many girls now, and like, you know, it's easy to forget some of the queens that aren't,
true,
you know, blowing up your Instagram or your Facebook all the time. So it's, you know, I always bring things back to Sahara.
Well, she won't be forgotten, because not only of her legacy in New York and being a fantastic performer, but also on the show, which plays around the world constantly, and people are always discovering it. But what she did, you know, that Martha Wash lip sync.
She jumps off the stage.
Yes.
In her ballet shoes.
And then the footage of her arriving on the cannon with the fan blowing in her eyelash. That gift
will forever. Live on forever, honey. Well after us.
Yeah, she always had to have the biggest lashes.
And she did.
She had three pairs of 199s.
Oh, I love it. Well, that's one of the things I'm most proud of with this show is that, you know, not only is it a launching pad for, you know, young talent to go out and slay the world, but, you know, it's a way to teach people about the art of drag and these fabulous performers, you know, to show people what's out there and what's available. And I'm so happy that you've been a part of it.
Of course, thank you. It's immortalized all of us into, like, the drag history, the LGBT history. Like, it's really amazing to be a part of this. Thank you so much, Rue. Like, I'm so proud that the show is getting bigger and bigger every year. I'm so happy to be a part of it. I'm so happy that I can tour with Michelle Visage all around the world. I've made the closest and most dearest friends. I've been challenged harder than I've ever been challenged in my life before because of this show. I've got a new sense of responsibility for myself and my actions. I've grown as a human. I probably could never go back on the show and be a hateful Heather anymore. But
I would hope not.
But no, I'm sorry. Some people need to be called out on being a booger. I'm sorry. Some people just need to step up their drag, especially if they're going to go on RuPaul's show and represent all the hard work that you guys have put into the show. Mm. So thank you so much. It's an amazing experience. I'm having the time of my life. I will keep doing this for the rest of my life. I'm going to be the old, you know, Filipina drag queen rhinestone scooter, you know, coming out, lip syncing, blind as a bat.
I love that.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being on the show, Manila. And people can find Manila, of course, on social media and Twitter.
Website.
ManilaLuzon.com.
Right.
Yes. So go check her out and give her a dollar, you know.
Buy her t-shirt.
Yeah, buy
her
t-shirt.
Yeah. Well, until next time,
okay,
Michelle.
Okay, baby.
Thank you. Bye.
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 Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? If you can't love yourself, how in the hell you gonna love somebody else? Can I get an amen?
And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes.
If you can't love yourself, how in the hell you gonna love somebody else? Amen.